Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show, and we've got an exciting guest in the studio virtually, and we're super excited about this because we're going to be talking all about St. Thomas Aquinas and the Summa. Yes, no. Stay where you are. Don't tune out. Don't run away from the radio. This is going to be just a really fun educational time that we're going to have with this special guest that we have on Take Two. We don't have many guests that are willing to come on and answer calls, so this is your opportunity to ask him a question, and he loves taking calls. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to introduce him. Pretty much everybody knows him and loves him already because he's been in Catholic media for a very long time, but then I need you to call in with your questions, and he's willing, and we're going to go like rapid fire. He's going to give us a brief history, an understanding of the Summa and Thomas Aquinas, and then we're going to go into your questions, because that's the important part of Take Two, what you have to ask. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So let me tell you how this wonderful guest came on Take Two. So I've known Dave Palmer. That's our guest today. I've known Dave Palmer for many years. We've done pledge drives together, and we're friends. And Dave and I work on a wonderful morning show for Guadalupe Radio Network. We are contributors to Morning Joy. And Dave does a segment on there called Thinking Out Loud with Dave Palmer. And it's all about the Summa Theologiae. Okay. And the interesting thing about it is as I was waiting and listening, I was absorbing all this information that I didn't realize about the Summa. Now, I had to read the Summa a few times, basically the parts that pertain to the angels. And those of you who have been listening to Take Two, you know how much I love the angels. So he's considered the, St. Thomas Aquinas is considered the angelic doctor. So I had to read that part on the angels and the Summa, but I never really got through all of it because it was just, I was like, wow, this is a lot. But Dave Palmer, in my opinion, is quite an expert, I believe. He's very humble on the Summa. So what he's going to do is he's going to break it down for us. So let me properly introduce my dear friend, Dave Palmer, who has graciously agreed to be on Take Two and to answer your calls about St. Thomas Aquinas and the Summa Theologiae. So here is the number, 833-288-EWTN. We've got Matt on the phones. He's get lined up, you guys, because this is going to be an exciting, fast hour. And I keep saying exciting because when you walk away from this hour, you're going to learn something about the Summa, and you're going to understand something better about how St. Thomas Aquinas structured everything. 833-288-3986. Okay, so my dear friend Dave Palmer, he is an author, he's a speaker, he's a teacher of high school. Wow, it's amazing. He's a radio host. Everybody knows him for that area too, because he helps other affiliates sometimes raise money for Catholic radio, which is a beautiful thing. But his full-time position is executive director of the English stations of the North Texas office of Guadalupe Radio Network. Whew, Dave, you got a lot of titles.
Good to be with you, Debbie. I love this topic, and I love your show, so the two are coming together. It's really fun to be on, and I hope you get a lot of calls.
Yeah, and I understand your mom has been listening for quite some time, and she's likes the show as well.
She does, yeah. She's a cool fan.
So if you want to do a shout-out to mom real quickly, feel free.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Okay, so Dave Palmer is here to share with us. Basically, we're going to start at the beginning, Dave, and I kept using the word exciting. You can already see the phone lines lighting up, Dave, because I want folks not to walk away or shy away or steer clear of the Summa because they feel like, oh my goodness, the way it is composed, the way St. Thomas Aquinas, his brain worked, I just can't get into it. I don't understand it. So would you start at the very beginning for us, Dave, about how it is structured and what we need to know if we're going to start picking it up online or buying the volume set on EWTNRC.com?
Oh, yeah, certainly, Debbie. The Summa, first of all, he never finished it. And I think there's an interesting story as to why he didn't finish it. I have my own guess, but we can talk about that in a moment. But St. Thomas Aquinas lived in the 13th century. He lived about 49 years, and his output was amazing. He wrote another Summa called the Summa Contra Gentiles and a lot of scripture commentary. He wrote about Aristotle and but the Summa Theologia is his most famous work, and he wrote it basically in the last 10 years of his life. And I think it was his magnum opus. It was what he wanted to leave to the world at the end of his life. And as you said, it's 5 volumes. There are about 630 questions in the Summa, and every question has a number of articles. And every article is broken up into the beginning is the objections. And so when St. Thomas Aquinas wants to get his, you know, the truth of the answer out, he starts with objections. So he gives you an objection, several of them sometimes, up to 4 or 5 of like the wrong answer. But I think he does that because, first of all, he wants to respect the people that disagree with him, and he also wants to show them that he understands their point of view, sometimes better than they understand their point of view. And then he goes into what's called the sed contra, where he'll quote an authority. And this is often scripture, or it might be somebody like St. Augustine or St. Jerome, or even a pagan philosopher like Aristotle. And then he goes into what's called the corpus, which always starts with, I answer that. And this is where he gives his answer to the question. And then he goes back and he responds to every objection. So that is how every single article of the Summa is laid out. And there are about 3,000 articles in the Summa. And many people are familiar with the 5 proofs for the existence of God. That's probably the most common thing that most people know about the Summa. That's only one article of the Summa. That's part 1, question 2, article 3. So it's 1, 2, 3. But that's only one of 3,000 articles in the Summa. But that's kind of a basic structure. And also, if you follow the format of the Summa itself, he begins with God and he ends with God. And in between that, he'll give a big description on the angels, like the part that you said you read a lot about. And also human nature, creation. The big middle part is on virtues. He talks a lot about the sacraments. The incarnation comes about three quarters into it.
Wow.
So the whole thing is, we're from God, we're leading back to God. That's what the Summa is about.
I love that. We're going to talk more with our dear friend Dave Palmer on this Summa Theologiae and also about St. Thomas Aquinas, a great saint. So you can call in 833-288-3986. Okay, we're talking all about the Summa today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. That's right. We get into some deeper topics, absolutely, on Take Two. And this is not a pre-recorded show. Usually when we have guests, we record the shows because it's just easier to do the interview that way. But Dave Palmer has agreed to answer your calls, and phone lines are lighting up, so that's good. So if you have something to ask Dave about St. Thomas Aquinas or how the Summa, what it means in the Summa, you want to ask him a question, how it is structured, if there's a problem you have with it, now is the time to call in. So don't sit this out any longer. We're going to get to Carlos in a moment. Carlos, hang on. Don't go anywhere. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. This is going to be very, I think you guys are going to learn a lot. So I want you to listen and take notes, but I also want you to call in. Before we get to Carlos, let me just share, Dave, with our listeners. We always share certain events and programs and products that can really help move folks along in their spiritual life. So the National Life Rosary, tune into Mary, the Mother of God, for help bearing witness to the gift of life with the National Life Rosary. Designed exclusively for EWTN, this unique centerpiece and crucifix represent the reality that all life is sacred and begins at conception. Help pray for and build a culture of life with the National Life Rosary. It's available right now at EWTNRC.com. By the way, The volumes of the Summa are available at EWTNRC.com. Also, Peter Kraef's kind of summary of the Summa, which is, yeah, that's kind of redundant, but there you go, is available on EWTNRC.com. And Peter Kraef is also the one who wrote the book that I also recommend, Angels and Demons. He wrote a really good book on the angels. So, Dave, we have Dave Palmer, our guest. Dave, we're going to get to Carlos in just a moment, but real quickly, you had, right before the break, you had said that, and this is what I've always used in religious education, and if people listen to me on the radio, you'll hear me say it multiple times, that we come from God, and our job is to get back to God. And you were just sharing with us on the break that your online show on YouTube on Fridays, Back to the Father, which is at 1 p.m. Central Time on GRN Online YouTube channel. That's the reason why you titled it, because it's this idea of we come from God. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas, and our job is to get back to God. Really quick comments on that before we get to Carlos.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the theologians have these two terms for it. It's exitus and reditus, where we exit from God. We all know that we're alive and here we are. And, you know, we know through our faith that we came from God, but we also feel like we're going somewhere. We're directed to something and we're being pulled, in a sense, back to God. And God gives us all these different ways that he's drawing us back to himself. And that's really what the Summa is about. It's kind of a blueprint of God luring us back to himself, but of course also with the allowance of free will. So we're allowed to reject that pull back to God if we want to. But he gives us things like the sacraments and his grace and the virtues that make it easier for us to achieve that which we were made for, was union with God.
Wow. See, I told you you were really good at this, explaining this for all of us. Okay, Brian was a first-time caller from Fargo, North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Brian, if you're listening, please call back. We'd love for you to join the conversation. So if you have time, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jump in if you want to ask Dave Palmer, our dear friend. He's delightful to talk to, and he's got a great sense of humor. He's really fun to talk to as well. So please call in and ask your question about the Summa. We're going to get to Carlos first, and Carlos is in Dallas, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Carlos. Thanks for waiting, and welcome.
Hello there. Hey, good to hear you guys, Debbie, Dave, and I don't know if you remember, I'm Carlos Magana. We met in Dallas. And you brought your friend, and we talked about angels and demons. Mm-hmm. Great show. So my question for Dave is regarding the Summa, considering the four eternal truths and one being the natural law. I'm wondering, and I'm not sure if I'm asking the question properly. I'm just going to ask it right away. So how does the natural law align with salvation and Jesus's miracles? You know, as we say, that's physically impossible. How does this align with salvation?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you're tying two different things together there, Carlos. The natural law, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas explains in the treatise on law in the Summa that there are four kinds of law. There's the eternal law, the divine law, the natural law, and then the human law. And eternal law is the broadest one, and that's pretty much anything that is true is going to fall under the eternal law. And then he describes the natural law as that subset of the eternal law that is known to the rational creature like us. So those things that we naturally know, the natural inclinations we have, the things that we don't have to go running to the Bible or the catechism to know, such as protecting innocent life, or, you know, respect for our parents or things like that, or don't harm the innocent. These are all parts of natural law. Now, how it ties in with our salvation is that, you know, we are naturally drawn to God, as, you know, we talked about previously. Divine law, interestingly, would be those things that surpass our nature, things like the laws of the church that direct us to a final end, the teachings on heaven and hell, on the Blessed Trinity. These are things that we'd never be able to figure out on our own. And so when you talk about miracles, those are supernatural. And so we are ourselves both natural and supernatural in the sense that we have a spiritual soul that, you know, is like unto the angels and in the image and likeness of God, but then we also are here down below. So I think you'd have to say the natural law is implanted in us naturally, but things like divine law and miracles are supernatural things that direct us to our final end, which ultimately is our salvation and union with God. Does that help?
Yeah. Thank you. And just one more question, if I could. Does the natural law, by definition, is a sub of our human affairs, human law? Am I saying that right?
Well, human law is different. Human law is based on natural law, so a perfect human law would conform to natural law. And that's why I always find it so perplexing, something like abortion, because abortion clearly violates the natural law. It's something that we don't have to be taught that you should protect innocent life in the womb, okay? Everybody knows that. Now, why so many people violate a law that is implanted in them naturally, that's perplexing to me. And so in a perfect world, the human law and the natural law would coincide, but we know that because of all the other influences, and of course, you know, demonic influences and just concupiscence and, you know, the disorderedness of our nature after the fall, we don't always come up with good laws. So ideally, the natural law and the human law would coincide.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. God bless you. And thank you for being first up here on Take Two. I'm so glad you got the conversation started. So have a beautiful rest of your day. Okay, Carlos is going to free that phone line. If you'd like to ask a question, that's what's in the Summa. You hear it mentioned all the time. You radio hosts mention the Summa and St. Thomas Aquinas frequently. And you may be thinking, wow, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to start. I don't really know what the basics are. Well, that's why we brought Dave Palmer on. Because we just knew that he would be perfect for the Take Two family. So please don't hesitate. Another shout out to Brian if you'd like to call back, but please don't hesitate. Call in and ask Dave a question. This is your opportunity, guys. And typically when we have a discussion like this, Dave, our listeners do sit back and they just absorb because they really want to learn and grow. And so they're maybe a little hesitant to call in. And here's the other thing. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. A lot of folks reference St. Thomas Aquinas all the time. And it would, if you want to ask a question about the Summa, because Dave teaches on this with high schoolers. And so it is wonderful for us to learn from an actual teacher of the Summa. So the number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And while we're waiting for the other calls to come in, I want to ask you, Dave, a couple questions. So do you have a favorite part of the Summa? How many times have you read it? What brought you, you know, interested in the Summa? Did you find it frustrating the first time you tried to tackle it? Because oftentimes people will start it and they're like, yeah, I read a little bit of it. And that, yeah, it's not for me. Somebody just needs to explain it to me. And maybe that's why Peter Crafe did such a good job summarizing it for us and bringing it down to where we can really understand. Can you give us a little background on what brought you into the Summa?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's really Catholic radio that brought me into studying the Summa, because when I've been in Catholic radio a long time, almost as long as you have, Debbie, and I noticed when I first started listening every day, all the time, that so many of the hosts were referring to St. Thomas Aquinas. And
exactly.
And you still hear that. Listen to Dr. David Andrews, listen to Jimmy Akin, listen to, you know, Trent Horn, and there's constant references to St. Thomas Aquinas. And so sitting there listening to Catholic radio all the time, it piqued my interest. And so I went to the local Catholic bookstore, and I'll never forget the manager, Janet, was there. And I said, I want to buy the Summa, and I'm going to read the whole thing from front end. I just knew that I was going to do that. And she jokingly said that she was waiting for the movie to come out, and she didn't want to read it. And so I went home, and, you know, my wife can tell you, I was sitting up until 2 a.m. and just reading, and I loved it. And what I did was, and I would recommend other people, if you pick up the Summa and you start reading it, or even even find it online, don't put so much pressure on yourself that you have to understand everything before you can move on. Just read it, and if it's something that fits your piques your interest and you're kind of getting it a little bit, just keep reading it. And I couldn't put it down. I mean, the day I finished the Summa for the first time, the next day I started it again. And I just kept going back and back and back. And so, again, I do believe everybody has a different spirituality, and some people are attracted to different areas. You know, you love the angels, and you know, mm-hmm. our friend Rick loves divine mercy, and I think that's a good thing, because we don't all need to study the same thing. This just happens to be mine, and if somebody is intrigued or it piques their interest, then it might be, you know, what God wants you to study as well.
So, what do you say to folks when they start the Summa? They come across the objections, like you shared with us on the structure and the format of the Summa, and they get so tangled up, they get so confused. Is there a way to navigate through the Summa in a more enjoyable fashion? I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, that's why they call him the angelic doctor. I mean, he actually, in my opinion, well, you can attest to this, he developed the theology on angels because of the way he was able to come at it from all these different angles, right? So it was able to shape the way we view the angels today. But you can, if you went and just read that part, that might sound great, but then by the time you're done with all of the objections and everything, you're like, oh my goodness, this is all over the place. What do you say to people when they just want to pick a certain area and they want to dive into it, and they get frustrated? I'm saying it again only because that's the complaint I hear all the time about the Summa.
Yeah, I heard somebody, it might have been Dr. Peter Crave, say that once you get some of the terminology down, I think that's what throws people off, is, you know, talk about form and matter and substance and suppositum and all nature and all these things. Once you understand the basic terminology and what those words mean, it makes a lot more sense, because those words return a lot. Of course, even our sacraments are form and matter, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you might want to go to just a little glossary and learn what each of those words means.
Good.
And
yep.
Then that'll help you. And then you don't get stuck with basic terminology.
I'm so glad you said that, because in my first class in graduate school in theology, that's the first thing the professor did. He had us all get these. He said, you got to get the terms down. If you don't get the terms, forget it. You're going to be lost, and you're going to be thinking of your shopping list and not wanting to be in class. Right? Right? Yeah. So, okay. So Brian called back. I love when our listeners, Dave, they actually respond to our invitation to call back. Brian is a first-time caller from Fargo, North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Brian, thank you so much for calling back. I always get so upset when somebody drops off and then doesn't call back. So you did. Thank you. Go right ahead.
You're welcome. And I was just wondering what the St. Thomas Aquinas teach about immigration and borders for a country.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I have heard Aquinas quoted about immigration before, where something along the lines of, you know, if somebody comes in illegally, they're more of an invader than an immigrant. I've heard that quote, and perhaps, Brian, you've heard that as well. To my knowledge, that's not in the Summa. Now, I'm not saying, as I mentioned a moment ago, he wrote a lot, and I have kind of laser focused on this one particular work of his, but I do not believe, and I'm willing to be wrong about this, that St. Thomas Aquinas directly refers to immigration in the Summa. He covers a lot of ground, but I don't think it's in the Summa.
But based on your study, Dave, because you've studied it extensively and you teach on it, what would he say about the current situation today of what's happening? Do you have any ideas?
Well, I mean, I think it's like this great balance that we always hear about. We wanna love everybody, and you know, say if the theme of the Summa Theologia is all about charity. I mean, charity is the entire thing. But St. Thomas Aquinas is also a person of order. Everything makes sense, and that's one of the reasons, just as a sub note, that I think people should read the Summa Theologia, because our world is chaotic. Our world mm-hmm. sometimes doesn't make any sense, and when you read the Summa, everything makes makes sense and everything's ordered. And so I think he would have to find that balance between love of neighbor and also the rule of law. And I know that sounds like an in-between answer, but I don't know that he had a strict rule for it based on our current struggles.
That makes sense. Okay, Brian, thank you so much. We're going to leave it there. Thanks for being a first-time caller. If you'd like to join this discussion and ask a question, call in. We'll be right back. Okay, our dear, wonderful Take Two family, Dave, I want to tell you a little bit about them because I've known them for 9.5 years. They're wonderful. I love the Take Two family. But they are creatures of habit, like we all are. And so when we have a guest on, I'm assuming that they're automatically saying, oh, this is a recorded show, a new content show, so I'll just listen. No, we are live today. Dave Palmer has graciously agreed, and I mean that because a lot of hosts, you know, it's not that they don't like live calls, and it's not like they don't like to answer calls. It's because sometimes they come prepared with things they want to share with the audience, and so when calls come in, it can kind of be somewhat difficult to navigate at times. And so it's not that they shy away from it; they just would prefer to have an interview, but not Dave. Dave said, "I'll take live calls." So we really need to fill the phone lines because we don't want Dave Palmer to walk away thinking, okay, you know, people didn't care about the Summa. They didn't want to ask questions. Of course you do. Ask any question you want. You can ask a question about angels. You can ask a question about God and man and our relationship with God. You can ask anything about how St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, presented things to us so that we can get back to the Father. And by the way, Dave's show on Fridays is called Back to the Father with just a sweet, sweet, wonderful, talented lady, Cecil Anderson. I love her. I love you too, Dave, but I really love Cecil. And so you got Back to the Father at 1 p.m. Central Time on GRN Online YouTube channel. So if you want more information about the Summa, you can check out Dave's podcast. But Dave, before we get to the phones, let me just share with our listeners that we do have some open phone lines. If you have a question you've always wanted to ask, every question is an important question, folks. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you are the key person. So what you have to ask, what you have to share is going to help all of us. You're asking the questions on behalf of the whole Take Two family. So don't sit this out. Don't think somebody else is going to do it. I need you to fill those phone lines. 833-288-3986. Okay, that's the number. You'll speak to Matt Gabinski. He'll chat with you, put you on hold. You get to listen live, slip right into the discussion. Or you can go on social media. Dave, please wave to everybody. Chats are going strong. I'm waving to everybody. Okay, you can put your comment or question there. We'll retrieve it. Michael McCall will put it up on the show document and we can read it. But we'd rather hear your voice very quickly now. Call in. Okay, there go the phone lines again. Come on, you guys. Don't sit this out. 833-288-3986. That's the number to call to ask about the Summa. Now, Dave, I do have to do a congratulations. Congratulations is going out to our great EWTN radio partner, KOGD 107.1 in Shawnee, Oklahoma, is celebrating 9 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Right Reverend Lawrence Stazen and his team at the Benedictine Fathers of Sacred Heart Mission from your friends here at EWTN. Wow, 9 years of radio. It's so awesome. Think how many souls, Dave, are being reached, you know, from working at Guadalupe Radio Network. Lots of souls are being reached through Catholic media. So, Dave, we're going to get back to the phones in just a second. I'm sorry I keep harping on it. I really am. But it's only because I hear it all the time. Every time when I go and speak on angels and I reference that the closest thing to an angel expert, and I know a lot of people call people angel experts, but the closest one to an angel expert is St. Thomas Aquinas, in my opinion. And when I reference the Summa, people will say to me, oh, they just keep doing it. They say, oh my goodness, you read the Summa? You read part of it? How did you stand it? How did you do it? I mean, so he had a lot crammed into his brain. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And so I asked you kind of the same question in two different ways, but Dave, I want people to start going deeper. Would you suggest the Summa as a method to go deeper?
Oh, yeah. And it's interesting. You talk about the angels, and you know this, Debbie, but the first part of the Summa is called Prima Pars. It has mm-hmm. about 120 questions, and a good probably 30 of those are about the angels. And he has such amazing questions about the angels, and it comes in two different sections. Like, we've all heard about the order of angels, from the cherubim down to the angels and the archangels and the throne. That article is in the Summa. And, you know, questions like, you know, how do the angels move? Are they in a place at one time, or are they kind of everywhere? How do they communicate with each other? And a lot of it is very applicable to us, because if you go to the end of the Summa and you read about our state of life in heaven, if we're so blessed to get there, many of the things that our experience will be like in heaven will be angelic. Okay, it's not, we don't become angels, but it's going to be very similar. The way we are able to know things will be very similar to the angels. The way we move will be similar to the angels. So when you read about the angels, in many ways, you're reading about something that can give you hope of what it's going to be like when you get to heaven.
Oh, well said. Well said. I love how you stated that. Okay, we're going to get back to the calls in a moment. Matt's just chatting with some folks, but Anna Marie on YouTube, Dave, please wave. Anna Marie says, what are the government of creatures that St. Thomas wrote about?
The governance of creatures?
Oh, it says government here. So governance?
The government of creatures. It sounds to me like she's referring to providence. And because providence would be the way that God orders all things in the world and also directs them to their final end. And there's a really cool word, and this is one of those terms that you got to understand to kind of get the Summa. It's called teleology. Telos mm-hmm. means end. And if you imagine God directing all things in the world, there are 8.7 million species of visible creatures in the world, and all but one of those is directed just kind of out of necessity, okay? The bird is going to build the nest, and the beaver is going to build the dam, and the fish are going to swim. They don't make any decisions about doing this, right? So they're all kind of brought to their end through God's governance and providence. But the one species of those 8.7 million that God gave free will to is us, and we are allowed to, you know, be obedient to God as he kind of pushes us towards our end and pulls us back to himself, but we can disobey. So there's a whole section in the Summa about the governance of the world, and it also has to do with the angels, because the angels mm-hmm. are cooperating with God to help us, and in some cases, of course, to hinder us in our journey back to God.
Beautifully said. And Anna Marie, just so you know, we are transferring the comments over to a show doc, so sometimes there's a bit of typos, so governance instead of government. But actually, Dave, you know, with an election year, we're all thinking about the government right now, right?
Ooh,
so, yeah, and going along with Brian's call and stuff, I mean, we do lean on the saints to find out how they dealt with things in their time. And Dave, they dealt with some pretty difficult situations, you know, with heresies and all sorts of things coming at them, wars. So it's just a different time we live in. Is there anything you wanted to share about that in general? And by the way, thank you, Anna Marie. And also, I just wanted to say real quickly before we get to the phones, Michael was saying he belongs to a group in California. They're reading the Summa. They're reading the Summa now. Wow. He's in a theology study class. That is so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So now, if you're talking about government and that kind of thing, Debbie, was that what the question was?
It's an interesting typo there, because I'm thinking we all have it on our mind, you know, the government and what's going on. And we all are trying to figure out how the saints dealt with things. How did St. Thomas Aquinas?
And of course,
really
no political party is perfect, no candidate's perfect, but I think what reading the Summa will do, a couple of things. It'll help you understand the value and dignity of the human person, and mm-hmm. so therefore you'd never be able to stomach or support anything like abortion or euthanasia. And I think taking those principles that you get out of the Summa about, and that's the biggest thing that I get out of the Summa is, you know, how we're made in the image and likeness of God, and how special and unique we are as creatures. And I think you take those same principles that you learn, and you'll take those into the voting booth as well, and it'll help you discern, you know, things like elections.
Well, and I do want to remind our listeners, retired bishop from the Diocese of Phoenix, Bishop Olmsted, wrote a beautiful booklet that has been revised many times. He wrote it in, I believe, 2006. It's called Catholics in the Public Square. And all you have to do is search Catholics in the Public Square, Diocese of Phoenix, and it'll come right up, the whole book online. And I really think it helps with the non-negotiables and how to really form your conscience so you really understand what it means to be a Catholic Christian. Would you agree with that, Dave?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I heard you talking about it on the radio this morning, but yeah, for certain.
Yeah, Bishop Olmsted and he loves Take Two, too, so that maybe we can have him on. That would be wonderful. Let's go to Mary, and Mary is in Toledo, Ohio, on Annunciation Radio. Mary, thank you so much for waiting. And before you get started, Aaron was on from Guadalupe Radio. Aaron, if you want to call back, please do so. We have an open line for you, and others can join in real quickly at 833-288-EWTN. Okay, Mary, take it away.
Okay, so I ran across the term predilection, and I asked a priest about it, and he told me that I needed to talk to a Thomas Aquinas guy about that. So I was wondering if you could explain to me what predilection is.
Yeah, that's a good question. I hope I get this one right. A predilection would be, I think, a tendency or something that we're, you know, predisposed to. That's what comes to mind right now, which would mean that something that is kind of inherent in us that predisposes us to a particular, you know, path or way of life. Does that sound like it fits what you might think it was? Or I know you said you were trying to search for the right answer, but that's what I think it would mean.
It's more in line of God's predilection, not our predilection. So what would predilection mean in terms of God's predilection?
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one. Predilection, because God is, you know, God, and that's one of the interesting things about God is that his intelligence, his being, his, you know, his will, everything is the same in God. And that's why he revealed himself to Moses as I am who am, you know, he is, and he is existence itself. And so I would imagine that the predilection of God is just who he is in himself, which is pretty much everything, and every creature and every being is participating in God. So that's the best I can do, because God, you know, there's no, Thomas says there's no potentiality in God. So nothing happens to him. He's not being changed in any way. And so a reference to a predilection or a tendency to God would seem to mean just he is who he is, and he is existence itself,
right?
And that would be who God is. And an understanding of God, I would say, is essential to understanding the human person. And if you read the first questions 3 through 11 of the Summa, or what are called the 7 attributes of God, he takes those 11 questions to teach God is. And I would highly recommend, if you do have a curiosity about God and who he is and his nature, to study those things like perfection and goodness and eternity and infinity and unity. That would give you an idea about God is. So I hope that helps a bit, but that's the best I can do, Mary. Thanks for the question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Okay, Mary's going to free that phone line at 833-288-EWTN. If you'd like to ask a question about the Summa, you can also ask about the part in the Summa about the angels if you'd like to. We'd happily discuss that all the time here on Take Two. 833-288-3986. Okay, so back to these words, Dave, because again, when I was in my first year of theology, everybody was just really just twisted up about this, the words, you know, all these gigantic 9-syllable words that you had to use and you had to write in the papers and everything. So explain some of, is there any other words in the Summa that we should start to learn about and kind of put it into our brain so that when we're reading it, we don't get all tangled up?
Yeah, and you know, when I start to explain these, some of the people listening may be like, "Oh my gosh, that sounds so deep." But I'll explain. You know, matter and form, for example.
Yes, perfect.
Matter is easy because that's kind of the physical stuff that things are made of. Aristotle, by the way, came up with this thing called the four causes. And this is pretty essential because St. Thomas Aquinas leaned very heavily on Aristotle as much as Augustine leaned on, Platonism. And so Aristotle had what he called the four causes. And they were the material cause. So that's like what a thing is made of. Okay, so you take a dog. The material cause would be the stuff that a dog is made of, the fur and the bones and all that kind of stuff, right? The formal cause would be what it is, kind of the essence of the dogness of the dog, right?
Right.
The efficient cause is what made it, you know, what ultimately what makes a dog is God himself, right? And then the other one that I find really interesting is the final cause. And final cause refers to something's purpose or end or meaning. And so if you take anything in the world, you can apply these four causes, which have to do with form, with matter, with finality, purpose, and also efficiency of, like, you know, who created it. So you could take something like marriage. And this is why I think it's very applicable, because then you start saying, well, what is the purpose of marriage? Or you could take a friendship. What's the purpose of friendship? What's the purpose of anything we do? What's the purpose of this radio show? What is it, you know? Final cause is very important, and I think this is something that everybody should focus on, and you start to look at the purpose of things. And then a word like substance just means an individual thing, like an angel is a substance, right? An angel is an individual substance. It's an individual thing. Debbie, you're a substance. I'm a substance. Everybody listening right now is a substance. The pen I'm holding in my hand is a substance. And it's related to a word that Thomas uses called suppositum, and that's very similar, and it just means an individual thing. Nature, it has to do with essence, but it also has to do with operation. So when you look at something like a cat, a cat's nature would be to purr or to meow or to, you know, walk on four legs. And so studying what the nature of something is very important as well. So again, if you're going to dig into the Summa, learn about some of these basic words. And then once you get those down, when you encounter them in the Summa and you already have a little bit of background of what these mean, it's going to make it a lot easier to study it.
So you did something really brilliant. You do many things brilliant, but you did something really brilliant several years back. You did a short, I think it was like a 20-minute YouTube video on like the quick basics of the Summa. And I picked it up a couple nights ago as I was preparing for the show, and I was like, okay, that is golden. Do you remember doing that? And I'm going to find it and get it to our producer, Charles, so he can post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, because I think it was phenomenal. Do you remember? You got a lot of comments on that
one. Yeah, you know, actually, I did one that was like the whole Summa summarized in 20 minutes that you're referring to, but there's another one that actually got more hits than that, and it was the entire Summa in 4 minutes. And that one has gone, you know, at least by my
viral,
little standard, kind of viral on
sure,
my YouTube channel, is that the entire Summa described in 4 minutes. And it's pretty much just pictures and a very brief description of kind of the flow of it. And that one seemed to go pretty well. But, you know, it's interesting also, Debbie, there's of all the videos and all the things that I've ever talked about online, the one that has gotten the most attention has interestingly been about, like what Carlos was asking about earlier, is the four kinds of law. And for some reason, people were fascinated with the four kinds of law, because I think it applies to a lot of different parts of our life. But those four kinds of law, the eternal, the divine, the human, and the natural law, that's the one that people seem to be most interested about.
Fabulous. Okay, you still have time to call in. You can squeeze in a call very quickly. Matt's got his headset on. He's ready to go. 833-288-EWTN. If you want to ask Dave Palmer a question real quickly, he's wonderful to talk to. 833-288-3986. You can ask about St. Thomas Aquinas, a great saint in our church, a doctor of the church, and also about the Summa. Back to Michael's comment. Do you see it on YouTube, Michael's comment? So his group in California is actually reading the book by St. Thomas Aquinas. So did you want to comment anything about any of his writings other than the Summa?
About St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm sorry, about any of the other...
Yeah,
his writings, it's funny. I've spent so much of my life studying the Summa and focusing on that I think I have kind of neglected his other writings. But there is a lot of commentary on Scripture. There's commentary on Aristotle and other of the Greek, the Greeks. And then that whole other Summa that I referred to at the beginning of the show, the Summa Contra Gentiles, which is a little bit more philosophical in nature. But I think if you're going to just kind of dig into something and you want a compilation and a best kind of representation of what Thomas wrote about, I think the Summa is the one to go to. And Debbie, if I may add about the fact that Aquinas didn't finish the Summa.
Yeah.
This is an interesting story because late in his life, he was seen by one of his, scribes, one of his attendants. Thomas was before the Blessed Sacrament and he was levitating. And he had a mystical experience with Jesus. And at that time, the story goes that Jesus said, "Thomas, you have written well of me. What would you like as your reward?" To which Thomas said, "Nothing but thee, my Lord." Okay, that's what he wanted. Nothing but you. And then after that happened, he decided to stop writing the Summa. Now, there's some interesting things because the last full section of the Summa that he wrote was on the Eucharist. So the last thing in the Summa that you're going to get that Thomas actually wrote, is going to be the treatise in the sacraments about the Eucharist. But I think one of the things that I think in God's perfect order of why Thomas didn't, finish it was that he realized that he said, compared to what I have seen, this vision of God, everything that I've written has been like straw. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a tendency for people like me and people that get into St. Thomas Aquinas to read a lot about God and learn about God and study God, but without having necessarily the relationship with God. And I think the lesson at the end is what Thomas said, this is all straw compared to that actual living encounter, relationship with God. So there's a great lesson there. But then his scribe went back to Thomas's old writings and finished the Summa. So it's all finished, but the last 20% of the Summa is based on writings that Thomas did when he was in his 20s. So It's very interesting. But I think there's a great lesson there of how the Summa was never finished.
Yeah, that was fabulous that you shared that. And that's what I was referring to. Michael is studying the, how do you say it? The Contra Gentiles? Is that how you say it?
Summa Contra Gentiles. Yes,
right. That's what they're studying in that group. That's really cool. That the group is going that deep. Okay, real quickly before I just wrap up with Laura's comment coming in from YouTube, I wanted to share EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa, 8 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. We are getting another call. We may be able to squeeze in Father Mitch and David DiNapoli addresses the priest shortage and how the laity can help provide scholarships for priests and seminarians at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome. Oh, that's going to be really good. Let's see if we can squeeze that call in real quick. But Laura wants to know on YouTube, please wave, Dave, how can we apply the Summa to issues affecting the culture today? Is exactly what we've been talking about this whole entire show. That's why we were talking about how, if he were alive today, what do you think he'd be saying to us? I mean, we're in a mess in this world right now. Let's face it.
Yeah. And this will probably be deserve a longer answer than what I think. But Thomas was a realist in the line with Plato and Aristotle and Augustine. And I think what we see in our culture today is a big push towards nominalism, which means that there really isn't any ultimate truth. Thomas believed that there was truth. And also he believed that God was the most knowable thing. Because of God and his nature, we can know know God. So I would say that truth is real. All this confusion in our culture today is because we've lost the idea that there is a truth that we can come to know. A lot of it has to do with the history of philosophy and how that went off its tracks. But I think he would be flabbergasted at some of the nonsense that goes on in our culture today.
Yeah. Well, and we're getting other comments too. People want to know what's a good book that we could possibly, or summary of the Summa. We already mentioned Peter Crafe's book on EWTNRC.com on a summary on the Summa Theologia. And then Dave, you wrote a book. What was the name of the book?
Well, mine's called St. Thomas Aquinas for Everyone. It's for parents who want to teach their kids basic principles of Christian philosophy. But Debbie, let me also throw in G.K. Chesterton's book called The Dumb Ox. That is basically believed to be the best book written about St. Thomas Aquinas, and it's a very easy read, and it's not very long as well. So I would definitely recommend that one as well. And I don't know if we have any time. Did you see Mark was asking about the fourth proof? Did you see that on the screen?
Yes,
here?
And unfortunately, we're down to a minute. If you can do it in 30 seconds. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Yeah, the fourth proof was based on the levels of perfection. And all it means is that we see levels of perfection in the world. God is ultimately perfect. And so our observation of perfection in the world will lead us to God.
Beautiful. Well done, Dave Palmer. Dave, please come back to Take Two again. We need to do this again, maybe a couple times, and we'd love to have you be part of the Take Two family. Thank you so much, sir. And we can catch you on Back to the Father at 1 p.m. Central Time on Fridays at GRN Online YouTube channel. And Dave, keep up the great work on the Summa, spreading the message there. And folks, you did a fine job asking questions, calling in and comments. I love the Take Two family. Thank you to the show team, Matt and Michael. And Charles, fabulous job as always. Thank you to the affiliates that carry this program. God bless you all. We'll have another show planned for you tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.